Wednesday night we're starting the book of Judges. Should be a lot of fun. I love Judges. A lot of swordplay. Everybody ends up dead. But beyond all that, fun stuff like that, every man did which was right in his own eyes. Is that a good thing? Oh, no, it's mayhem. It looks like America in the 21st century. And we'll see. We'll look into the Judges and we'll see the mirror image of us. And but there's a solution. There's a solution. So we'll start studying that Wednesday night. Tonight we're not going to have a meeting because it's New Year's, and I wasn't sure the computer was going to work, so I made alternate plans anyway. Some of you people don't want to be out driving about and with all the people practicing their drunk driving, which isn't probably true. I don't think a lot of people are doing that anymore. The consequences of two surveillance. Let's hope that it doesn't happen tonight. But anyway, no meeting tonight. I will still have broadcast on Facebook the 11th reflection from the Song of Solomon, 11, 12, and 13. Then I'm going to start the book of Isaiah. That's my plan, God willing. I think I covered everything. Okay, so like all good studies, the book of Galatians, chapter 2, I would pray at this time you open to Acts chapter 15. Acts 15. By the way, you should know Acts 15. You should know it very well. It has a lot to do with where we live and how we are and how it affects us greatly. So let's pray. Fathers, we turn to your word. A lot of ground to cover. But I pray that you would be with us and teach us every step of the way. Bless your word as it goes forth into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 15, verse 1. Certain men which came down from Judea, taught the brethren, said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. So we have Paul and Barnabas in Derbe, in Lystra, in Iconium, in Antioch, in Perga, Italia. And so here they are at Antioch, and then these guys show up. The word is Judaizers. Yeah, Jesus, yeah, okay, cool, that's good, but you got to get circumcised. You got to believe in Mosaic law. And this is what they're bringing. Is this true? No, it's heresy. That's what the book of Galatians is all about. There are still Judaizers. And there's some who just, they're not Judaizers per se, but here's how you get to heaven. And they will give you a list of works that you have to accomplish in order to get saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, okay, the gloves are off, they go into war, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go to Jerusalem under the apostles and the elders about this question. What they're looking for resolution, let's go to the big mahath at Jerusalem, let's get this straightened out. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, y'all. This is like nothing to be trifled with. You either are on board here or you're a heretic. There's no quasi-gray middle ground. And being brought in the way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. They caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God has done with them. Okay? They give a little report what's been going out on the field. And there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees. Pharisees, also the gospel. Good news, bad news. Bad news, with a capital B. These are the guys who devour widows' houses, and make pretense, long prayers, all that stuff. Well, here they're in the book of Acts, and they're no better. There rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed. They believe in Jesus. They believe. But they're misbelievers. They're not disbelievers. They're just messed up. Listen, can you be that? Yeah. Yeah. I think probably all of us have taken side roads. I got saved gloriously. Converted to Jesus Christ. New creation. I mean, saved as anyone ever been saved. So I never took a side road. I never took a misadventure, a misstep. Well, it's silly. We have to flesh these things out. And usually, you know, we go through the legalistic phase and we go through these certain, you know, we try out, you know, Calvinism and tulip theology, and we try all these things on, and we look at Jewish dietary laws and things like that, and we navigate through these and we find our way. So we could be believers, but we just don't get it exactly correct. Well, these are them. There rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees. They believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. They're in Jerusalem. They're all circumcised. They all got saved at Pentecost, and several of them believed. But since they're little boys, 8 years old, they've all been circumcised. They're all keeping Jewish dietary laws. They're Jewish. They haven't even considered. Wait a second. I mean, some of them haven't considered. Okay, what does this look like now? Peter had been to the house of Cornelius. And you know the story, hopefully, in Acts chapter 8. I haven't got time to recount it here. But they had already made forays into the Gentile world. And they should have figured some stuff out. But they came together to consider this matter. I don't understand that at all. How come they aren't? No. No. Now, what are you doing that? Are you going back under the law? Come on, are you guys serious? That's what they should have considered, it seems to me. When there had been much disputing, again, what's the dispute? Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that how a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. That's Acts chapter 8. It's recounted, the house of Cornelius. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. I like how he inverts that. He gave them the Holy Ghost, just like he gave us. Oh, no, strike that last. He put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear? Why are you going to make them try to keep the law? We can do it. Our father couldn't do it. Now you're asking the Gentiles to do it? Why would you do that? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Now that's the inversion. Yeah, we can get saved, just like they're being saved, through the grace of God. You see how he did that, how he inverted that? That's what I meant to say earlier. Hey, they can get saved just like us. No, he says. We can get saved just like them, by the grace of God. And this is very important. This is what the book of Galatians is all about. And after he said, then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they held their peace, James answered. James is the head of the Jerusalem council, not the first pope, Peter. And I say that tongue-in-cheek, of course. But you see how Paul... He's the brother of the Lord. He's the one who wrote the book of James. He's the head of the church in Jerusalem. He's the head that, it's that offends your Catholic sensibilities. I don't write it. I'm just, don't shoot the delivery boy, right? After they held the peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath, now Simeon is Peter. You might miss that. That's his name, right? Shimon, who's called Peter, and Jesus renamed him Rocky, right? Peter, right? The Rock. But his name is Simeon, or like I say, in Hebrew it would be Shimon. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit Gentiles, take out of them a people for his name. And he's referring back to the house of Cornelius. To this agree the words of the prophets, and he goes and he quotes the prophets in Amos specifically. I don't want to develop that right now, because it would take more time than I have this morning. Wherefore, verse 19. Oh, let's cut to the chase. This is my sentence. This is my pronouncement. Wait, who are you? I'm the head of the church in Jerusalem. So I'm making a pronouncement here. This is my determination. This is how it's going to come down. If he said wrong things, wouldn't, like, we all be stuck in circumcision and we're all be wearing a kippah here this morning and the prayer shawl, and no, he's not going to mess up. He's led by the Holy Spirit of God. Wherefore my sentence is that you trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. Hey, don't. You're right, Pete. We could never keep the law, so why are we going to try to make them do something that they're going to fail? Why would we try to do that? But that we read into them that they abstain from pollutions, vitals, from fornication, from things strangled, and from blood. Now, I'd love to develop that. I don't have the time to. Some say it's the Noahic covenant, way before the law. Okay, just this much. Listen, don't be an idol worshiper. Stay away from sex sin, okay? And what's this thing strangled in blood? Listen, you're going to be eating with Jews, and it's not that it's sin. It's just that you want to have some basis of fellowship. They won't have, they can't go that far. Okay, they wouldn't be able to. Down to verse 22. It pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas surnamed Barsabbas and Silas, chief men among the brethren, and they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, for as much as they had heard that certain men went out from among us that troubled you with words, subverting your souls. Did they? Oh, yeah. You get hold of that bizarre, wrong gospel. It will subvert your soul. It will put you in bondage, as we'll see in Galatians 2. They're saying that you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. Why are they still Judaizers? Why are they still trying to convert us to Judaism? It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. Why? Because in the mouth of two or three words, in two or three may every word be established. It's not Paul freelancing, going off on his own, reinventing the gospel. No, this came right from us. It seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. See, he's being led by the Holy Spirit of God. He's saying, look at, this is what the Holy Spirit of God, the inventor, the creator of the church, the one who came in and filled us at Pentecost, this is what he says. This is his gospel. This isn't our invention. Paul didn't come up and say, well, I'm tired of that whole, I'd like a ham sandwich, frankly. I'd like some bacon. You know, I'm tired of this whole That's not Paul's invention. He's saying, it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. And he goes over, abstain from meats, offer to idols, blood, strangle, fornication. Hey, if you do that, fair enough. Is this new law? No, this ain't going to get them to heaven any more than the other stuff, but this is a basis of fellowship. At least do this, okay? You want to have Jews and Gentiles together fellowshipping, you're going to have to meet us at least halfway here. Not that it's a methodology for salvation. He's never saying that. Okay, they went to Antioch, they gathered the multitude, which when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. I would rejoice too. That's wonderful news. Oh, circumcision? Put down the scalpel, Rabbi. We're not doing that here. This is great consolation. What's great consolation about it? Galatians chapter 2. Then he's talking about back in chapter 1, we looked at 2 weeks ago. Like start in verse 21. After I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, I was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But then we heard that the guy who used to persecute us, he's now a faithful preacher of the gospel, the one that he tried to destroy, and they glorified God in me. Now let's pick up his recounting of the things that happened. Galatians 1 and 2, Paul's establishing his credentials. 3 and 4, this is the heart of the letter. This is the doctrine. This is what we all assemble for. 5 and 6, now this is the outworking. So we believe this way. What do we do with response to that? Okay, so we're still talking about his personal testimony, his bona fides, his this is what you've got to know. I didn't just one day decide like, hey, I got a new gospel. I got this whole brand new thing going, and I'm trying to convert the whole empire. Oh, there's people chasing me, trying to get you back to being, but you got to follow me. No. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was headed to Damascus. Jesus interrupted my journey. He saved me gloriously. He gave me the gospel. And this is the gospel. It is not my own invention. It's not the invention of those down in Jerusalem. But I explained this to them. We all met about it. We talked about it. Why? Because Paul's not a rebel. What would happen if James and Peter and them said, no, they got to be circumcised? I don't think Paul would have changed his message. I think this is very important. I like unity, but I am not going to sacrifice truth for the sake of unity. Many do. I wouldn't be one of them. Truth is truth. Truth will set you free. Unity is wonderful, but it won't set you free. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, says Jesus. And you shall know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Hallelujah, I'm free in Jesus, but let's keep talking. Let's keep learning. 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. He mentions Barnabas in Acts 15. He doesn't mention Titus. Titus is his test case. Titus, come with. We're going to Jerusalem. Now, what's going to happen there? We're going to give him your testimony. You're going to talk about your salvation, how you love Jesus, how you used to be a heathen, how now you're a brother. And you're going to let him know, I'm not circumcised, nor do I have any plans on getting circumcised. So Titus is kind of like the test case. We don't read about that in Acts chapter 15, but we know that Paul's saying, hey, I took Titus with me. Titus isn't Jewish. Barnabas is Jewish. Okay? And I went up by revelation. God told me to do it. I went up by revelation. I communicated unto them the gospel, that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. But privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. I didn't want to make this big public spectacle and debate and everything else. I want to meet with them privately. Hey, this is my gospel. This is what I've been teaching everyone. You good with that? And of course, well, yeah. They've all been filled with the same Holy Spirit of God. They're all being led by the same leader in the same direction. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Nobody's happier about that than Titus, I'm sure. Guys, you understand what we're talking about here? I know. You say, listen, can we change the subject? I'm not really comfortable talking about circumcision every week. Paul's talking about it. We have to talk about it. Can you imagine if that's our gospel? Come to Christ. Here, pass me a scalpel. You don't think that's a hurdle that had to be overcome? I say this like, I don't know how women are and stuff like this. No, guys are. We never talk about this. My very, very, very best friends don't know if they're circumcised or not. Don't know, don't care. It's not a thing. It's not on the radar. Paul puts this to sleep. He buries it once and for all. There aren't people that I know still talking about, yeah, everyone, all Christians got to get circumcised. Nobody's doing that. Paul crushes that. Thank God. And with that, all the other stuff that is not helpful. There's a reason for the law. We'll figure that out as we go along. Not today. He doesn't criticize the law. Law is perfect. The problem with the law is you. The problem with the law is me. It's perfect. It came down from Sinai. Angels were involved. It was glorious. It was good. The problem with the law is you can't keep it. The problem with the law is I can't keep it. And so we have to go around saying, hey, this is what you got to know. This is what you got to do. You do enough, you'll maybe make it. I don't know. You don't do enough. I mean, and by the way, we're going to see later on, next week, law, it's a chain. You break one link, you ain't being suspended from it. All you can do is break one, you're all done. Anyway, let's keep moving. Okay, Titus wasn't compelled to be circumcised. And verse 4, and that because of false brethren, I don't believe it at all. That because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. In Christ is liberty, in false doctrine is bondage. I'll have nothing to do with it. Listen, I was a product of that. I brought up Catholic, as many of you know. There's bondage in Catholicism. There's bondage in Jehovah's Witnesses, bondage in, oh, take your pet, Mormon, whatever you want to associate with. There's bondage there. You've got to do this, 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 and they have a whole long list. Catholicism is just a different list. It wasn't circumcision. It wasn't tithing. It wasn't speaking in tongues. It wasn't a number of things. It was, I got to go to Mass every Sunday. Oh, you didn't go to Mass? Mortal sin. Go to hell. Oh, but you can go to confession. Go to confession often. Now you're back right on track. And they gave me a wheel to run in, like a little gerbil. Clattering, making a lot of noise, going nowhere. And Jesus saved me from all that. Listen, pardon me if I get emotional. Jesus saved me from all that. I don't do any of that stuff anymore. And there's people who still try to bring us into bondage. Jehovah's Witness came to my door, knocked on the door. I said, hey, who are you? And Jehovah's Witness, I brought him in, gave him a cup of coffee, sat him at my kitchen table, said, so what do you got? He said, I don't know. I never made it this far before. That's a joke, and I would never do that. I would never invite somebody. They say, well, you want to lead them to Christ, don't you? Well, if I felt like God was leading me to do that, I'd have that discussion right on the front porch. If I felt like God was... You're saying, really? You wouldn't invite him in your house? No, I wouldn't. And you can go to the second epistle of John. Many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Then Jesus Christ is Michael the Archangel. And by the way, he's not divine at all. He's the first created being. Okay? If you want to know about Jehovah's Witness. I had to learn all this stuff. The Bible is life-giving. Learning about cults is helpful to keep people away from them, but it's very tedious. Many deceivers are entered in the world who confess not Jesus Christ come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which you have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in this doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Adam, you take that literally? I take the whole Bible literally, except in the parts we're supposed to take allegorically, because the Bible does talk in allegory. We get it. Yeah, I take that very literally. You say, no Jehovah's Witness other than your house? Well, I don't know. I mean, the serviceman who come and fixed the dryer, he might have been. I don't know. I wouldn't invite somebody in and dialogue with him. But no. Don't even bid him Godspeed. That's, in that culture, it's like, hey, have a good day. I don't want him to have a good day. I don't want that. I want him to get off my property. And once he's far enough away so I'm not clear of any lawsuits, I want him to fall down and break all his legs. Adam, you don't really. I want him to understand that when he's spreading that false doctrine, he's bringing people into a snare and bondage. And it's unacceptable and it's no good. And I want him to know that about God. I don't want him to break all his legs, but I want him to understand that what you're doing is absolutely wrong. Adam, I think you're overstating the case. That he might bring us into bondage? If somebody came in here and tried to kidnap you, I'd have something to say about it. Okay? Did you see Sound of Freedom? Children were kidnapped into sexual slavery. Was that okay with you? Because I was in the theater fuming. We were going home. I was sad and I was grieved and I couldn't even pray. I was so, you okay with bondage? Because I'm not. It's the exact opposite for the reason Jesus saved us. No, I get really, listen, I see people, I'm free from that now. I dabbled in that. I was brought up in that. I'm free. There's no shackles. Look at my, raise my hands to worship God. No chains. Look. And then I see somebody leaving and going back into what I escaped from. And I don't have any Stockholm syndrome. They were, I was imprisoned there. And I see somebody else doing it, and I'm thinking, oh, God in heaven, help. I'm not ambivalent about it. No, they're false brethren. They came in privately to spy out our liberty, our freedom in Christ. Praise His holy name. You know what their whole objective was? They're trying to bring us back into bondage. I want you to understand, this gospel is not neutral at all. We didn't give them place by subjection. No, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. We didn't invite them in. We didn't have a cup of coffee. We didn't dialogue. I said, get off my porch. Get out of my face. You're a liar, and you're trying to bring people in bondage. I ain't giving you any. Get out of here. This is what he's saying. I mean, I don't know if he rolled out exactly like that, but I didn't give him an hour of my time. An hour means I didn't give him the time of day. But of them who seem to be somewhat, whatever they were, it maketh no matter to me. He's talking about back in Jerusalem. God accepteth no man's person. Are you happy with that? That last verse? God's not a respecter of persons at all. Well, these are big mahats. This is James. This is Peter. This is John. These are pillars. And he's going to go on later to call them pillars, right? He's saying, well, you know, we went down there. They seem to be somewhat. It doesn't make any matter to me. Thinking he's like, yeah, whoever. No, he's not saying that. He's saying, God told me. So whatever man says, I mean, I want us to be all on the same page. That's really important. Going forward, we can't have gospel A and gospel B, select one. We can't have Jews and Gentiles over here forever, never coming together. It's Jesus, the glory of Jesus Christ, to take, in the Old Testament we have Jew and Gentile. In the New Testament, we have Jew, Gentile, and church. Praise His holy name. And that glorifies Him. And we don't want that two system forever. We have Gentile church, we have Christian church. I mean, Gentile church, we have Jewish church. Nope. Whatever they were, it doesn't matter to me. God accepts no man's person. But they that seem to be somewhat in common, they added nothing to me. Paul's not being arrogant here. Paul's not being, listen here. When we shared everything and all the dust settled, I was on the right track. They didn't enhance my gospel. He's not saying that, listen, I have failed like this. Every man's my better in this, that they have something to teach me. Hey, you get out of here. You got nothing. Shut up. What do you think? You know something? I know everything. I'm the pastor of this church. What do you think? Who talks like that? Who thinks like that? Not me. I think it's very, very important to stay humble or God will humble you. I know whereof I speak. He has no problem humbling me. Every time I think I'm just getting a little too big for my britches. They added nothing. They didn't take my gospel and shape it and bring it to the next level, is what he's saying. Jesus gave it to me. I got it. I got the real deal. I got the gospel. But contrary-wise, when they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Okay, so we same spirit, same gospel, Paul's working among the Gentiles, Peter's working among the circumcision. The circumcision is the way that he's referring to Jewish people. And when James, Cephas, that's Peter, and John, who seem to be pillars, okay, they look like they were heading the thing up, and I guess they were, and he's, that's good, that's fine, okay, we need leadership. They seem to be pillars. They perceived the grace that was given unto me. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go to the heathen and they unto the circumcision. So they had their lane that they were working. We had our department we were working in. And they said, you go with God. They gave us that Godspeed, the blessing, the hey, we're all on the same page. God's working among you and doing some great stuff. Keep it up, boys. You're doing great. And they got their imprimatur, their okay, their approval. Is that important? Yeah. It's not, okay, you get this little weird thing, you let them eat their, you know, ham and bacon, and that's okay, but we're not going to be doing any of that stuff. As a matter of fact, he's going to tell us a time when, well, next. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I was all, which I also was forward to do. To wit, the poor at Jerusalem. You remember when a prophet said there was going to be a dearth in Agabus, and it came about, and there was much poverty in Jerusalem. And Paul goes around taking up an offering for those at Jerusalem, and it serves to unify the church between Jew and Gentile. And they want me to, they were just saying, hey, be zealous about the poor. And yeah, we're definitely on board with that. It's not the gospel, but it's because we are of the same, you should do this thing. You don't go to heaven by remembering the poor. Should you remember the poor? Well, of course you should. But that's not what gets you to heaven. Now, when Peter was come to Antioch is a Jewish, Gentile city. Peter was come to Antioch. I withstood him the face because he was to be blamed. What do you mean? Yeah, I had to get up in his grill work and I had to tell him you were messing up hard. You're being a hypocrite. Knock it off. I said, really? Let me tell you about it because the scripture tells it to us. For before that, certain came from James. That's the idea of the crowd from Jerusalem, okay? There was those who came up from Jerusalem. They came from James, James being the leader of the Jerusalem church. He did eat with the Gentiles. So he's hanging out with the Gentiles, having fellowship with them, eating with them. Big, big, big deal. Do you remember, I don't know if you do, Acts chapter 8, he's at the house of Simon the Tanner. So he's already making some concessions there. A tanner's house would be unclean. It's dead. He tans hides. So there's dead animals all about. This would make him kind of in a perpetual state of uncleanness. So here he is. He's at Joppa, same place that Jonah was. And he's making this. He sees these wineskins, among other things, that a tanner would tan hide so you could put wine in them. And I bet he's thinking about, you know, I remember when Jesus was teaching about the wineskins. And, you know, you can't put new wine into old wineskins. It won't work. They'll try to expand. They'll burst. And he's probably working through all this. He's up on the roof. It's about third hour, sixth hour, I think. I don't know. He's hungry. He's starving like Marvin. So he's going into a trance, and he sees all these four-footed beasts. And God says, Peter, go get it. Dinner time. Lord, I not like that. I've never eaten anything common or unclean. What is he saying? I've kept Jewish dietary laws. I eat kosher, only kosher. I ain't eating this camel. I'm not eating that horse. I'm not eating that rabbit. I'm certainly not eating that pig, lobster. No way, no way, way. And God's saying, whoa, 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 whoa. I sanctified it. Don't you dare call it common or unclean. That happens three times because Peter's the disciple of three. Everything has to happen because that's Peter, right? You know, that's how he rolls. So now, knock on the door, Gentiles. And the Holy Spirit says, you go with them doubting nothing. The vision meant something. So he goes with them. And he's, okay, what'd you call me here for? Well, we know you're a holy man. They do him obeisance and stuff. And no, stop that. I'm just a man like you are. Don't be worshiping me. So what is this all about? Well, we want to hear the gospel. We understand that you got it. So you got the good. So he starts sharing the gospel. He's halfway through. The Holy Spirit of God falls, and they're all filled with the Holy Spirit. And he sees it, and he's like, ay, 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 this is crazy stuff. And then he goes back, and he tells them at Jerusalem, he says, wait, you ate with Gentiles? Are you kidding me? It was a big deal. It was a big, listen. In some circles, it's still a big deal. We went to Israel, and there are those who would love to have us there, and they're very gracious, and they're very courteous. And then there were those who were like, Gentiles, you know, kind of like, don't even look at them, don't even make eye contact with them. There were both of those, right? And still a big deal in some circles. Sorry, but it is. And you, in some circles, are a second-class citizen, somewhat above a dog, somewhat below human. Just the way it is. I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying it is so. So Peter goes to Antioch, and he's hanging out, rubbing elbows with these Gentiles. Is he having pork chops? I don't know, but he's eating with them. Is it prepared kosher? No. Is it kosher food in the sense that it's lamb? No. I don't have to make that provision for him. I don't know. But here he is hanging out, enjoying just fellowship with Gentiles. A group from Jerusalem comes, and Peter says, "What am I doing?" And so he withdraws. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision, Jewish, right? He feared Jewish people. Listen, the fear of man brings a bondage, Proverbs tell us. Have so much love for God that you fear no man. Fear God so much that you fear nobody or nothing else. And you're doing it right if that's the case. Do not have fear of men issues. Why? Nothing good can come of it. And look at Peter. And the other Jews dissembled, were hypocritical like him. The other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas was carried away with their dissimulation, the hypocrisy is the word. We don't use dissimulation. It means hypocrisy. So Peter, here he is, rubbing elbows with Gentiles, having the time of his life, back and forth, joking, clowning around, enjoying fellowship, sharing the things of the Lord, just loving his brothers and sisters, having a good old time. People come to James, "What am I doing?" And off he goes. "I can't be eating with you guys now." Even so much so that Barnabas is such a good guy. And Barnabas is even carried away thinking, "Yeah, I guess, what are we doing anyway?" And can you imagine such a thing? You'd have a hard time imagining that. But it's like I say, it's a big thing in that culture at that day. I had to get in his face. Verse 14, "When I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel," uprightly, orthopedeo, it's a walk. Christianity is a walk. "They were walking not orthopedeo." You know what orthopedic shoes are, right? To help you walk correctly. You didn't have your orthopedic shoes on. You were walking. You were limping along. You remember like when Elijah, how along Israel, you halt between two opinions. Halt doesn't mean stop at a stop sign. It means lame. You halt. You're not walking right. How long are you limping along? You got this. Pick one, walk. And here he's saying the same thing. I saw that you weren't walking according to the truth of the gospel. I said unto Peter, before them all, I call them out right publicly, before them all. Well, shouldn't you take Peter aside and kind of be a little delicate and peace? Was that really the best choice? No. He's a leader. He's a pillar. He's somewhat. He even got Barnabas to go along with his hypocrisy. I had to call him out in front of everybody. Why do that? Well, it depends how public your mistake is. It depends how, not usually, not generally, and you generally don't have the height of the skyline profile that Peter does. I mean, another thing is the golden rule. You want to treat people like you want them to treat you. I like the people come by and say, "Adam, that one quietly, and we're not all public or anything, right? I have a chance to repent and come right." But this is different. This is the gospel. This is Peter. What you did was so hypocritical. So I call him out before them all. "If you, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel those that are Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" That's a great question. You're Jewish. You're hanging out with the Gentiles. Now, why are you trying to make Jewish people from Gentiles? Why are you trying to get the Gentiles to act like Jews? "We who are Jews by nature," Jews by birth is the idea, "and not sinners of the Gentiles." We're born into this thing. We got it from birth. And now you're going to try to take Gentiles and convert them into Judaism? I thought we settled this back at What were they? Practicing fornication at the dinner table, or practicing idolatry, or strangled? What was it, Pete? I thought we went through all this. And he calls them out in front of everybody. And ostensibly, Peter took it. Hopefully, faithful are the wounds of a friend. You know, a friend is someone who get in your face and tell you you're a knucklehead. I have some. You need probably more than you have. Why? Listen, I love you. I'm your pastor. Love you. Sometimes you're a knucklehead. And sometimes you need people to say, hey, what's the thought process here? What are you doing? This ain't quite right. We all need that. And we ought to humbly take that. I think Peter did. They're not at odds with each other the rest of their ministries, the rest of their lives. Peter has some really gracious things to say about Paul at the end of his epistle. Story for another time. Verse 16. This is so important. You haven't listened to a word I said. That's fine. It's not, but it's fine enough. Tune in. This is huge. Oh my goodness, this is so huge. I don't even know what I'm going to say. I'm going to pass out. It's so, so huge. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ. Why? That we might be justified. By the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I just heard a cult all over America crash to the ground. Would to God. Here, join my religion. Here's what you got to do. And tithing, job one, because guess what? You know, we definitely got to, you come in here, you got to give big, come on. You got to do this, and you got to do this. And look at all the different groups. You know enough about a lot of them. What's this equals salvation. This equals salvation. This, I was talking to Jehovah's Witness, and I was talking about the grace of God. They ain't got it. I said, okay, I'm on my way to the gas chamber, Jewish, World War II. I want to get saved. You, Jehovah's Witness, tell me how. Well, you've got to do this and this. Well, I ain't got time for that. I'm like going to be gassed in like 10 minutes. Give it to me, quick. And it was a long list of, I got time for none of that. I'm going to, do you understand? He said, you should have started a long time ago. No repentant thief at the cross next to Jesus. I mean, think about that. You got to think about that. That isn't some accident of history. That was Jesus showing us deathbed repentance. What did he listen, he didn't get baptized. He didn't make his first Holy Communion. He didn't go to Mass on Sunday. He didn't become, he didn't serve 2 years in mission work like the Mormons. He didn't do anything. He didn't do anything. He was getting his just desserts. And he said to Jesus, will you remember me when you come to the king? Jesus said, yeah. Yes. Look at two criminals, both getting what they deserve, equal distance from the amazing Son of God. Any one of them could have had eternal life. Just a few minutes ago, he's deriding Jesus just like the other guys. And he sees and he cares and he's aware enough to say, this guy's different. He ain't done anything wrong. Hey, you talking about kingdom, I heard the stuff, but can you remember me? You got anything for me? What rewards did he have? I think huge. I think it's like this. He dies. Jesus is there in heaven. I don't know how it works. He's like, hey, come on, it's somebody I want you to meet. Grabs him, brings him to the Father. And he's thinking, oh, this is going to go really bad. I was such a miserable sinner. I was so horrible. I was just so, Father, I'm not worthy to... Fatted calf time. Where's the shoes for his feet? Ring, robe, come on, music, let's go. Celebration in heaven. Over one repentant sinner, more than 99 who don't need salvation. I believe this will happen. Fatted calf, death in heaven, I don't know. But look, feast time, food, festivity,
just, and that I'm not worthy. He didn't get a chance, like the prodigal son, he didn't get a chance to express it. This is salvation in Jesus Christ. Oh. A man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we would be, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And I'm amazed. I'm amazed there's still people who are out there touting, keep these rules and you do enough of them, maybe you make it. Woke is that way. Woke is that way. Black lives matter. Well, I think all lives matter, but you shouldn't be a racist. I mean, you shouldn't be, right? Anyone want to take me on about that? But you don't go to heaven by not being a racist. But here's the new righteousness, okay? Here's our new righteousness. Here's the new game. I have friends who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, queer, LGBT, and whatever else, any other letters they add, I'm on board. It's great. It's wonderful. And I accept everybody, embrace everybody, and it's wonderful. And the way that I, okay, you're shaking, you know, it's not, don't take me literally, but like we embrace all the people. And to the degree we embrace them, that's new reality, that's what equals righteousness. But you don't go to heaven by embracing LGBTQ people or by not endorsing them. Okay? I think that's a sin, you say, or I think it's wonderful, you say. It doesn't matter either way. Well, one's right and one's wrong. But beyond all that, you don't go to heaven by saying, I think that's sinful. And you don't go by heaven by embracing it all. The rules of the game change every day. Okay? They are, this is the new reality. You can't be racist. You got to, my next door neighbor's boy came in and said, I'm trans. And I said, oh, that's great. And I told him how wonderful and how brave he was being. So I know I'm going to heaven. But you don't go to heaven by applauding somebody's choice to be trans or not, no matter what the works are. And the works change all the time. It's hard to keep track on a daily basis what the new righteousness standard is. Who cares? That's not how you get to heaven. It's not, you don't get to heaven by applauding that or denying that. And there are standards in the Bible. There are things that are right and there are things that are wrong. We know that. But that's not, I'm not a racist, so therefore I'm going to heaven. Oh, you're racist? You ain't going to make it. Who says that? Where's that verse? Where's that? No, we all know, no, you shouldn't be racist. We get that. But that's not, you're not justified by the works of the law. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now think of the law, okay, as written, Ten Commandments, glory is good, come down from heaven. One, you can't keep it, and if you could, it doesn't work to your salvation anyway. That's what's being said. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. I point back to Peter's example. All right? I'm trying to be justified by Christ, and I am, right? But guess what? You look at my life and say, Adam, that's kind of hypocritical. What is Jesus? The minister of your hypocrisy? No. I'm off the reservation. I did something that Jesus said that I shouldn't be doing, okay? But that doesn't mean that's the gospel. All it means is that I'm a sinner, and I can't keep even the things that I set for myself as truth, objective truth. Don't blame Jesus, blame me. If we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves were found to be sinners, and we will be. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? No, of course not. Of course not. God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. And we go down these by roads and these paths and these legalism trails. Have we all done that? Jesus saved me from that. And we try to get righteous through that. For I to the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. So I'm doing 85 down the highway. And the blue lights come on. And
They pull me over, and my heart's pounding in my chest, like, oh my goodness, I hope it's just, oh, he's going to throw the book at me. And I have a heart attack, and I die. Writes me up a ticket. I can't sign it. And he continues to, he says, you know, the date for your court appearance is such and such. Don't be late. Don't miss it. He walks away. I missed my date. So he comes to the house, knocks on the door. Where is he? Yeah, he died. I don't care. Where is he? Here's his ashes. Grabs them, confiscates them, throws me in jail, ashes and all. What are you saying, Adam? Once you're dead, that's it. They're not writing your ticket. There is no court appearance. There is no jail time. There is no fine. You're dead. I'm dead to the law. Am I trying to obey it? No, I'm dead to it. People come to me all the time and say, well, is it wrong to... I'm dead to the law. If things are still wrong, don't take God's name in vain. Definitely don't commit adultery. Susan absolutely likes that law. But I don't go to heaven by not committing adultery. I'm dead to the law. I'm alive to Christ. How does that work? Well, let me show you how it works. Verse 20. I'm unworthy, Lord, I know. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not even me. Yet not I. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I don't frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness comes by the law, what was that crucifixion all about anyway? Christ is dead for no purpose at all. I'm crucified with Christ. Have you suffered death? Yeah, you're crucified with Christ. Listen, that's what it means to accept the gospel, embrace the gospel. But I'm alive. What does that presuppose? Resurrection, right? It's a new life. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things, well, they're passed away. All things become new. I'm alive in Christ. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. Adam, is adultery wrong? That's not the point. That's not even the right question. I'm alive in Christ. The Spirit of God is living in me. Christ is leading me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. He'll direct your path. And I have to tell you, he's not going to direct your path into adultery or blasphemy or idolatry or thievery or murder or whatever else you want to know is right or wrong. He's going to lead you with peace and joy and goodness and love and faith and meekness and self-control and all those good, wonderful things. Again, there's no law against people loving each other. There's no law against peaceful, godly. There's no law against joy. So that's the thing. It's not what's right, what's wrong. Maybe in a very practical way, I got to figure some stuff out. God, guide me, direct me. He will. But him guiding you, directing you, when he leads you away from racism, for instance, I'm just giving you a for instance, that doesn't make you more fit for heaven. That means you are fit for heaven. You're a new creation in Christ. You shouldn't have anything to do with racism. Racism is no good. Okay, so we get that? But you're not going to be justified by the works of the law. Stay with me. I don't frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness comes by the law, Christ is dead in vain. Oh, foolish Galatians, I'm not going to do chapter 3. Two verses, make a point. We'll start chapter 3 again next week. Stay with me. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? How did you get here? What did you do? This only what I learned from you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? That's why I wanted to point to the Spirit of God. He's going to do that. There's no chapter division in the original. You understand that? He's pointing to the Spirit of God. You got the Spirit of God in you? You're God. You're God's creation, new creation in Christ. Let him lead. Will he lead you into bondage? Of
course not. It is for Christ that we have been set free. Don't get entangled again in the yoke of bondage. We'll see that in chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. The Spirit of God will lead us into freedom. He won't lead us into legalism, and He sure won't lead us into sin. That's all I got. All right. Let's, you're gonna sit aside here with songs. Okay, let's stand. Listen, incredibly practical book, isn't it? What's right? What's wrong? Well, read your Bible. Do what God tells you to do. Don't violate your conscience, okay? Well, I think I'm going to be more right with God if I get circumcised. No, you won't. You won't. I think I'll keep Jewish dietary laws. They won't make you more righteous. Just saying. Oh, Father, take your word and impress it in our hearts in such a way. We have faith in you. We do not have faith in our own works. We believe you. We trust you. You have made us new creations in Christ. Help us to live in a godly way, to be sure. But help us to understand, Lord, faith in you is all we need. Now may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.